Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt today. Welcome to a Monday, and I like to call this segment Wendy's Hypochondriac Corner. Please welcome Dr. Thomas Moran to the show, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Hi, Dr. Moran.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Pickleball is all the rage these days. I know I have a lot of friends that play it, but eye injuries are up among pickleball players. Tell us about this.
Yeah, pickleball is one of the fastest growing sports in America. I mean, when you think about the number of people playing, there's over 19 million people play pickleball. There's going to be some injuries, and everybody thinks it's kind of a slow-paced game, but it has a ball and rackets. People usually don't wear eye protection when they're playing it. And that ball can get some pretty good speeds going, 30 to sometimes 60 miles an hour. And if the ball hits you in the eye, you can end up with eye injuries from hyphemas, which are like bruises or bleeding in the anterior part of the eye, to the lens of your eye could get dislocated, to retinal detachments.
Wow.
And sometimes people, you know, get hit in the head with the racket as they're going for the ball, and they can even sustain some fractures around the bones of the eye itself. And with that many people playing, there's more and more injuries each year. In the last 10 years or so of play, there are about 3,100 eye injuries that ended up going to the emergency room. But in 2024 alone, there was over 1,200 eye injuries because of the amount of people playing.
So do you recommend wearing, like, safety goggles when you're playing? Not goggles, but glasses.
Yeah, I mean, there's eye protection for any of the sports that are out there, where, especially where you have projectiles or balls that are hit. So you could talk to your eye doctor. There's, you know, if you wear eyeglasses, you could get prescription lenses. And there are other ones. If you don't wear eyeglasses, it's just a protective covering over your eye, so you don't have that ball hitting your eyeball.
And being active is really good for your body. Movement is like WD-40 for your joints. I know that I was battling a frozen shoulder for a while, and wow, that sucks. It really, could you explain frozen shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, joint health in general is your joints are meant to be moved. And there is synovial fluid. You think about it, it's like the oil for your joints. And if you don't move your joints, especially like a shoulder or an elbow, a hip, if you are just kind of sitting still and you don't utilize that joint, it gets stiff. It gets to a point sometimes where it just doesn't have the mobility like it normally does. A frozen shoulder is one of those joints that conditions in your joint where you can't move it and it gets stuck, and we have to end up putting you under a little bit of sedation and move that shoulder or break up the little kind of adhesions that form in there so you could start moving it again. Best way to kind of prevent stuff from happening with this is really exercise and movement. The more you move, the more you move that synovial fluid around your joints, the better your joint functions. Plus, it's exercise, and it keeps you healthy.
All right. Tell us about RSV, because respiratory virus season has arrived, and there is a vaccine for this, correct?
Yeah, RSV, flu, COVID, it's fall, and people start getting respiratory illnesses. RSV is one of those things that most adults think it's just more of a childhood respiratory illness, but older adults, especially those over 75, can end up getting pretty sick from RSV in general. And adults right now, 75 and above, can get a vaccination to protect them from RSV. Most infants get the vaccination for RSV so they don't contract it. But, you know, if you got grandchildren and you're over 75, going into fall, it's good to get vaccinated. It protects your grandkids from getting the disease also.
So that's recommended to people 75 and over, the RSV vaccination.
Yeah, 75 and older, and then anyone in that 50 to 74 range that have some risk factors for getting sick. So you think of heart disease, lung disease, chronic illness, those that are at more risk of anytime they get sick, it would be beneficial to have a vaccination to protect them.
Now, I try to keep in mind vaccination time for our family is October. I try to get in there before Halloween. So you can get the COVID-19 and the flu shot if you so choose. You can get them at the same time, right?
Correct. It's best to get the both. If you're going to go in, you might as well get them both at the same time. You know, the way I kind of tell everybody is you drive a car, you put a seatbelt on. You don't know when you're going to get in an accident or someone's going to run into you. And the best way to think about vaccinations is it's your immunity seatbelt. You don't know when someone's going to sneeze on you or where someone who had a cold and wiped their nose and grabbed a door handle and then you grab that door handle. So vaccinations give you that extra protection that if you do come in contact with someone that has a respiratory illness, your chances of being really sick or hospitalized are much decreased. It's kind of like your little safety belt for the flu and COVID.
I like the way you put that. And what do you recommend, Dr. Moran? Same arm or one in each?
It's up to you. You could get them in the same arm or you could get them on either side, whatever you really prefer. The best thing to do is just get them done, get it over with in one visit.
Why don't they give shots in the butt anymore? I'm sorry, I have to ask this. I'm like a 12-year-old boy sometimes.
It's easier. It's much easier access to get it up in your arm,
I guess. All right. Hold your thought, Doctor. I'm sure you're very happy to be with me today. And we are talking to Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Moran, we were talking about the RSV shot, and a listener has texted in from 630. Do the RSV shots need to be taken every year or just one time?
You get the RSV shot one time.
Really?
As an adult, for the adults and the kids.
Oh, all right. And, all right, prunes, move over. There's a new fruit in town. What can you tell us about the new fruit?
So constipation affects so many people across the world. Visits in America alone for constipation are about 2.5 million visits a year.
Wow.
So people are backed up. When you think about it, we just don't get enough fiber in our daily diets. And anyone that has less than 3 bowel movements in a week for over 3 months is really into the chronic constipation side. It affects your life. You don't feel well. You're bloated. You have achy and pain. If you're trying to participate in activities or physical activities, it gets a little bit harder. So it's a big deal overall. The more we can increase our fiber and fluid content, especially water, the easier it is for us to move our bowels. And kiwis are one of those fruits that have a good amount of fiber in them. They also help really hydrate the stool and retain some water in your gut so you can actually move your stool through your GI tract better. So 3 kiwis a day is going to give you about 15 grams of fiber. We need about 30 grams of fiber during the day. Overall, to really help us. We just have a high processed food diet, and the more we eat raw, kind of natural foods, those with good high fiber content, the better off we are overall.
And kiwis taste so much better than prunes, I have to be honest with you.
They're prunes really aren't bad, but kiwis, have a little bit better taste. Anything you can do with eating fruits and vegetables, especially in their raw state, the better off you're going to be.
And rye bread, I've read, is good for you as well.
Yep, rye bread is good, but you're looking at to get really good benefit from it is like 6 to 8 slices a day. So that's a hard kind of hill to get over overall. But stick with the fruits, kiwis, prunes, apples, everything that has fiber. Eat the skin really helps you out too.
Okay, and I'm having a very good hair day today. And hair, you can use your hair to tell you about our health. Explain this to us.
Yeah, hair is, we have a lot of it. We lose it at times. We've got about 100,000 hair follicles on our head. It's made of keratin, which is a protein, same thing that is really what's in your fingernails. But hair cells grow really fast. They're the second fastest growing cells in our body besides bone marrow cells. But our hairs actually give us, it's kind of like a data repository of our body. You know, our hairs kind of have a collection of what we put into our body, from our diet to our overall health to chemicals or toxins, can be really determined from just analyzing the hair. And so they also have the ability to kind of give us a little bit of warning. Like if, you know, someone brushes your head or insect or anything flies by you, it's a sensitivity where it can send signals to your brain to move out of the way and do stuff like that. Stress, illness affects those fast-growing cells, hair cells being one of them. So sometimes where you have excessive hair loss or your hair doesn't look healthy could be a sign of illness, and it's something that can prompt you to go see your doctor.
I never would have guessed that. And also, I just am a worrywart sometimes because I am a hypochondriac, of course. But also, when you go yearly to get a skin check from a dermatologist, because you can have skin cancer on your scalp and be completely unaware of it. Would that be good advice?
Yes. I mean, there are times if you're, you know, getting ready and you notice little scabs or sores on your scalp, you should definitely get those checked when you go in. Dermatologists will go and look through your scalp itself. Our head, especially as our hair thins a little bit, is exposed to the sun. There's more damage that can be up there, and it's just part of our regular skin that needs to be examined, because there are times that you develop a skin cancer there, and that is the, you know, your hairdresser or those individuals that are really looking closely at your scalp. Listen to them if they say there's something going on, and go see your doctor if they prompt you to do so.
Thank you so much. Great advice. He is Dr. Thomas Moran, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Wendy. Have a great day.
You as well.